SMSF, Bed of Roses, or Crown of Thorns? Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, working with his post, covering finance and property news with a distinctively Australian flavour. Today, I'm joined by Tim Fuller, Head of Advice at Nucleus Wealth. Hi, Tim.
G'day, Martin. How are you going?
Great, and thanks for spending some time with us. You've written a very interesting article, and in fact, it's one that resonates with me because of a few interesting conversations I've had recently with people thinking, oh, maybe I should just go and use a self-managed super fund to invest for retirement and beyond.
Absolutely. Yeah, look, for mine, you know, self-managed super funds are great. They've been around for a long time, proven track record for certain types of investors. But the problem is now they're probably becoming a little bit too accessible to anybody. And the availability of them and the ease of them to jump in online and just have one created without, you know, a third person, you know, having some sort of input into whether or not it's actually appropriate, maybe appropriate in the short term, but maybe not in the long term, is just sort of builds with me a little bit of worry, and that's hence the reason why I put together this article. It covering off on some recent information that was brought out by the government on SMSF or self-managed super fund statistics. So I guess there has been a little bit of a bulge or increase in the younger cohorts that appear to have opened self-managed super funds in the last quarter, in the June quarter for these statistics, and also people that have lower incomes as well. So 50% of the funds made in the last quarter earned under $80,000 or reportedly earned under $80,000 to the ATO. And I suspect that that is an area of the market who have very little time to run things like their own, you know, managed investments, and also potentially are putting their future retirement at great risk in the short term and also then in the long term.
Yeah, very interesting. And I noticed that from those statistics, quite a lot of the people who were going into it were of a particular age group. And quite often, the overall amount they were putting in was relatively small.
That's right. Yeah. And look, even in our own experiences here at Nucleus Wealth, we had the largest number of people that we've had so far actually wind up their own self-managed super fund. The vast majority were under 100,000. And for mine, I think they started over time with a great idea. And obviously, you know, like anything, you have a good idea in the short term. You know, you go on to start one of these because they're very easy to do. And a couple of years later, you realize that it's taking up too much time or it's been neglected and it's starting to do some real material impact into your, you know, the potential of you actually having a comfortable retirement.
Mm. And that is, of course, the point, because this is a long-term investment strategy, right? And so therefore long-term performance over time is pretty critical. And I guess that if you're thinking about trying to manage your own investments in a market that is very volatile, for example, currently, you know, the market went up 10% in November in Australia, right? You've got to be really paying attention to be able to actually position appropriately in such volatile conditions.
Absolutely. You know, and look, you know, investment management is our full-time job here, and I've seen how much work goes into it, you know, in running the portfolios that we do. You know, once again, for mine, unless you've got a really big interest in investments or you perhaps even work in finance, taking complete control of your financial future is just littered with danger. Now, that's not to say that self-managed super funds aren't the right idea for some people. And a little bit later on in my article, there was some discussion on saying, well, there are some managed investment options that you can actually use within a self-managed super fund. And then you can have those little tilts, you know, those little areas of interest like commodities or gold or cryptocurrency. I think it's an often cited one for people to start a self-managed super fund because obviously they've got the control then. They can you know, dabble in those markets. And look, you could do fantastically in those markets. You know, I think we saw the other day at Bitcoin at all-time highs.
Down 6%, up 6% in 2 days, right?
And that's exactly my point, you know, and I think yours as well, Martin. There is there's almost a day-to-day management required in that style of asset, you know, investment. And if you're not prepared to, you know, essentially take on another full-time role alongside everything else that you're doing with work and family, you know, you've really got to tread with caution, particularly with large percentages of your lifetime savings. Maybe small ones are okay for a bit of a dabble, and you know, you get a bit of a feel for how much time it takes to properly manage money in volatile markets. But you know, I'd really hasten caution in doing much more than, you know, a significant percentage in particular would, you know, there's some real damage that can be done.
Yeah, and the other point to make, of course, is that a self-managed super fund is essentially a separate legal entity, and it needs to be audited, and it needs to have accounts and all those other things. And there are some fees attached to doing that. And if you have relatively small balances, the fees actually can be quite significant and therefore erode into the overall performance.
Look, 100%, you know, and that was one of the reasons why Nucleus, we saw so many self-managed super fund closures. Most often cited reason was time, so they just didn't realise the time, and then the other one was cost. And look, self-managed super fund auditing and accounting has really come down over the last few years. There's effectively been like an online SMSF accounting war on, and it can seem quite reasonable, I guess, you know, in comparison to other SMSF options and accounting options out there. But if you've got a small balance, it still might be a significant percentage as an annual fee of your fund, which is then what that small amount of money needs to make up just to cover the cost of running the fund on a year-to-year basis.
Yeah. And so what do you think the critical questions that people should be asking, and if they think you're going into a self-managed super fund for the first time, what are the three questions that you think they should be thinking about?
Well, look, as I mentioned, almost certainly the first one is time. And, you know, whether or not if you've had the experience in investing in the area that you're looking at, and more often than not, it's an area that's not covered by, you know, traditional superannuation, you know, it's an area that's of interest to you and you're following a lot of shows perhaps on, you know, on YouTube and reading a lot of blogs, get some runs on the board in your own personal money first before you start, you know, hoarding or shifting over long-term life savings. Because if it's taking you 10 or 15 years to earn that, it could be gone in a week, it could be gone in a handful of weeks if you make the wrong decision, or if you just forget about it and you know, you get busy doing other things. Almost certainly then is the diversification piece. And so this is going back to, you know, in time and time again for mine in the retail space, people think in very binary ways. They've got a really good idea about one thing. You might do really well at it, and well done if you have. But you've also got to realize that, you know, the only way you make money in investing is by selling and by taking profits, you know. And so you've got to understand then that across the board, you know, you need to make sure that you've got not just one good idea, but you've got enough diversification. So if it doesn't go well, then you've got, you know, you've got cover elsewhere as well. And then just finally, I guess, look, the costs are one thing, and certainly the ongoing costs, if I throw a figure out there, you know, around about $1,000 or thereabouts is a pretty commonplace number for these online guys. Just keep in mind that that's actually just the accounting and auditing piece, and it's only a small part of the SMSF component. And when you're comparing it with another fund, just remember that there's an administration component in that fee if you're making a comparison, but there's also asset management and investment management built into that as well. And if you're going to do it all yourself, put a price on your time, and then work out whether or not, you know, it's going to be worthwhile in the long run. And of course, there are other options out there where you can invest through, you know, other investment companies. And obviously, we're one of those, and we look after a lot of self-managed super fund money. And then they can dabble and have a bit of a play around with what interests them in a much more, you know, or a safer, or I guess, or a, you know, a less riskier position. And then they can return to that over time and get a bit of a feel for whether or not they want to take over the whole gig.
Yeah, and as you put in your article, I thought it was very good. The old adage, with great power comes great responsibility. Good quote.
Absolutely, Martin. No, look, it's just one of those things that, you know, people don't really realise, I think, you know, how much work goes into investment management. And it's very, they make it very, very easy for good reason. They're very good at what they do. You go to somebody to set up a self-managed super fund, and all of a sudden you've got a bank account with a big block of cash in it. And you're literally holding destiny in your own hands. So yeah, all I can say is just be really careful, and also just know that there are other options out there.
Yeah, and talking of other options, you know, just to be clear, you and I have tied up through the Nucleus Wealth and the Walk the World Fund. So there is actually a Walk the World Super Fund as well as a Walk the World Investment Fund powered by Nucleus Wealth. And if people are interested in exploring those sorts of options, they can have a no commitment conversation with you guys and get some initial thoughts as to what might work. And the whole point of doing this was because we both believe that there is a significant gap in the marketplace in terms of transparency, in terms of openness, in terms of reasonable performance and reasonable fees. And this makes sense. And access to advice as well is part of the story, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah, look, you know, one of the big tenets or reasons why we put together Nucleus Wealth was to try and fix some of the parts in the industry that we didn't like, and in particular in superannuation. And for mine, transparency is the biggest one. You know, so many people that have reached out to us, both through your channel, of course, and I've had a great time over the last month since the launch in chatting to many of your viewers, always good value. But prior to that as well, and particularly when the markets were very volatile in March, was the most often cited reason was the lack of transparency. Balances swing around wildly and very little understanding about what was actually happening, very little communication from their investment managers, from their funds. And subsequently, of course, they started looking elsewhere. And so, you know, for us, we've been able to put together a highly transparent model, very tailored, both ethically and also from a risk perspective. And look, you know, we just see it as a great fit or a great solution to people that are tired of, I guess, the major super funds providing not much information, and in particular when people need it most.
Yeah, and I think the other thing is the customizing that you've got. You know, you can make quite a lot of different selections of different options within the structures that you've got there. It's all very transparent. And, you know, there are no surprises with regard to hidden fees and things, which is the other factor that many people, they suddenly trip over stuff and, oh, I didn't know that was there as well. And, of course, every fee that is taken away reduces the performance of the fund.
Oh, look, 100%. A big part of the way that we've structured it, chosen our partners who look after the administration side, especially, is really had a mind on fees. Obviously, there's a reliability sort of piece in there, which is first and foremost to make sure that client funds are protected. But then, of course, it comes down to fees. And as you say, you know, look, for mine, fees are just a headwind to performance. You need to charge a fee. That's how we operate, and we need to make sure we keep the lights on and everyone fed. But at the same time, there's a lot that can be provided for a fee that's, you know, around about the same as a big super fund. And in by way of bells and whistles, by way of having some human contact, you can reach out and speak to us. And of course, you know, the transparency and comfort in what we do through a lot of the publications and information we put out, including our own show, of course. Nucleus Investment Insights, also available on YouTube. I'll give it a quick plug there, of course, Martin.
No probs. No, absolutely right. And, I think being transparent through the social media channels is part of the story. There aren't many other, investment houses that are as transparent and as open as you guys. One of the reasons why we're collaborating. I appreciate your time today, Tim. That's been a really interesting conversation. We'll put the links to your article below. We'll put the links to What the World Super and What the World Fund there if people want to get more information. And, I just encourage people to think very carefully and cautiously about these things. Get as much information as you can and make sure that you make the right decisions, because the decisions that you take today can fundamentally impact the returns you get in 20, 30 years' time. And, of course, every dollar that you don't make into the future is going to hit you in the future, isn't it?
Well, that's right. You know, and look, you know, one of the greatest gifts, as everybody knows, is the power of compounding. And if you damage the amount in the early days, it dramatically affects, you know, the ability to build wealth in the future or to have a larger amount in the future as well. And that's why in the early days, you do need to be very careful to preserve the capital that you can and grow it in a good way, but also make sure that there are not big risks being taken in the early days that can knock your portfolio around and really wipe out chances of a comfortable retirement. It's a great point. And I think, you know, to anybody out there that's thinking or considering a self-managed super fund, it's one of those things where you've got to read up, you've got to get as much information as you say, Martin, to make sure that you're aware not only that the ease of setting it up, I think, is quite is pretty easy to understand, but it's the lived experience of somebody running a self-managed super fund, being plugged into markets and making sure they're making the right decisions going forward, because that's the bit that often where people come undone.
Absolutely, and I appreciate your time today, Tim. Thanks very much, and I'm sure we'll be chatting again over the next few weeks and months as the market continues to gyrate up and down and sideways and who knows where.
Absolutely, Martin. Yeah, I look forward to it.
Thanks
Thanks,
very much.
Everybody.
See ya. Bye-bye.